Alagutazak. Okay. Now this is Rabbi Nosson of Breslov. And as usual, he has certain phrases which really are concepts that have to be highlighted, that are major concepts. And in our case, one of the concepts is Ra'ayin, which if you'll see on page 1, just to focus on that concept for a moment, you'll count down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down.
Okay.
And you'll see Lehilochem Keneged Ha-Ra'ayin. So we're fighting against something called Ra'ayin. Now what does Ra'ayin mean in this context? We are all involved and obligated to be involved in a search for truth. However, although that truth is eternal and reaches out to the Almighty God, and we want to get closer and closer, but there's an anti-force. And that force that tries to uproot us and make it difficult with barriers and impediments is called Ra'ayin. The opposite of Ra'ayin, which is also a phrase called Tov Ayin, that's the good eye, and everything depends upon the eyes, which we'll try to explain as we go along. And that's going to be a journey to reach what's called, in the same line, Emes Lamito. So if you underline that phrase, you're at the second key phrase. Now, in between these two phrases, you'll see the word Mistakel. And that refers to the eyes. So you have the Ayin Ra'ayin, you have the Tov Ayin. And what's going to determine ultimately whether you sort of collapse and give way to the Ra'ayin, or you're able to overcome the Ra'ayin and get to Tov Ayin, it all depends upon your Re'ir, your histakus, the way you look at it. If you look towards the Emes Lamito, the ultimate truth, then what's going to happen is that the Ra'ayin falls apart, it falls away. And that's the greatest Nitzachon. So now we get to another key phrase, and that is Nitzachon. Now, Nitzachon is a noun. If you convert it into an adjective, it becomes Natzchon. Natzchon means the one who triumphs. And Rabbi Nosson has a lot to say about triumph, about success. And once again, we're going to see two polar extremes. There's going to be the Natzchon or the Nitzuach of the Ra'ayin, of the evil. And we'll explain what that triumph is, and then there's another triumph, which is the triumph of Netzach Nitzachim. You see the word Natzchon, which is the Hebrew word for triumph, if you break down to its source, its root, which is Nun Tzadiches, you get Netzach. And Netzach means eternity. Netzach means rising above the limited, physical, finite, material world that we live in order to reach Netzach, which is eternity. And that's the ultimate triumph. If we can reach out to eternity, and that's through the Nitzuach of Emes Lamito. So the ultimate triumph is when we are geared and motivated to reach Nitzachon, not for the sake of being a Natzchon, which we'll see as the negative, but rather in order to reach Emes Lamito. Okay, then? So the Nitzachon here, which is the real, true, genuine Nitzachon, you might call it the existential triumph in life, which one could achieve through Emes Lamito, is to reach eternity, to reach the level of Ein Sof, of the infinite God. On the other hand, against every move towards eternity, towards Emes Lamito, towards Ayin Tov, there's always going to be the contra, a force of the Ra'ayin, otherwise known as the Sitra Achra. And the Sitra Achra, the other side, which we don't even want to describe it, it's so negative and it tries so hard to bring us down, that's the Ra'ayin. That's going to try to give us a push towards a different kind of Nitzachon. And that's the triumph in this physical world, where one man tries to beat out the other. It's like two people climbing a mountain, and there's only room for one person. And you want to win the race. I don't mean you personally, but you want to win the race and be the first one to get onto the top, you know, to put your flag on the top of the mountain. And in doing so, you'll do whatever you need to do in order to defeat your competitor. So it's the world of competition, the world of selfishness, the world of I am the center of the universe, and I have to be the winner. And that kind of push and motivation comes from the Sitra Achra, from the Ra'ayin, from those forces of evil that want to defeat our Nitzachon, which is a Nitzachon of Emes Lamito, and convert it, transform it to a Nitzachon of the Sitra Achra, the Nitzachon of, I'm going to do whatever I can, pull whatever strings I have to, even if it means fabricating the truth, in order to defeat you, because you are my competitor. So the world of physicality, of the finite material world, is a world of competition. And in the world of competition, there is selfishness, in which each person, each man is out for himself. He is the beginning and the end of the world. And in truth, that's not a Nitzachon at all. He thinks that he triumphed. He thinks that he got there on top first. He thinks that he made the best investment, and he pushed out all his competitors. He defeated them all. And therefore, he is the great triumph. He's the great businessman, right? But adarabba, in truth, what he doesn't realize is, shumenatzeach es atzmo. He's really defeating himself. So again, there are two interpretations of success or triumph of Nitzachon. One is the real true Nitzachon, which is motivated by Emes Lamito, a search for something that goes beyond this physical universe into the world of infinity, and that means reaching out to the world of the infinite Ein Sof. The other Nitzachon, which is just the opposite, is when a person is Menatzeach es Atzmo. He really doesn't realize it, but he defeats himself. Okay, that's all a kind of an introduction to page 2. Now let me see for a moment where on page 2 in page 2b, if you will, about 8 lines down from the top, he defines and categorizes that negative kind of Nitzachon as kulo sheker. So if you read, for example, the line before that, I'll just summarize it outside. He says, Kol ha-chafetzim lasos ritzono be'emes, all those who fit the category, the description, that their entire motivation, their entire desire is to fulfill the will of God in truth, heim zochim, they merit l'bchinas netzach. They'll have the nitzachon, the success and the triumph of netzach, of eternity. And that's why the pasuk says, netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. That the ultimate netzach, which is the netzach of Emes, and this is a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, in the 15th chapter of the first Samuel, netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. There's an absolute antithesis between antinomy of netzach Yisrael on the one hand and sheker on the other hand, because the netzach Yisrael, which represents the Jew seeking out eternity, is Emes Lamito. It's the search for ultimate truth, and it absolutely excludes Sheker. Aval Shara Nitzchonos, but the Nitzchonos of this world, of the world of competition, the world of the Sitra Achra, of the Ra'ayin, Heim kulam sheker. You really think, well, you defeated someone else. Right? The whole world is full of wars and battles. Like, take, for example, in Russia, the Soviet Union, what used to be the Soviet Union defeating Ukraine. It's all sheker. Because it's a nitzchonos that belongs to this world. It's a nitzchonos that belongs to that side which is evil. And those people who achieve those nitzachon fool themselves into believing that they have achieved real netzach, real nitzachon, real true success, when really it's just the opposite. What they've achieved is sheker. And in the paragraph below that, he quotes a book called Aleph Beis. Do you see that next paragraph? Which is B,
yes.
On the bottom of 2B?
Yes.
And the Aleph Beis is a book that was written by Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov, the Rebbe of Rabbi Nosson, at the age of 8. He was 8 years old. And what he did was, he had a list of midos, of attributes. Each attribute is listed in alphabetical order. That's why the book is called the Aleph Beis book. And if you flip to letter Mem, he has something called Meriva. And in the word Meriva, which literally means altercations, competitions, battles, and so forth, he says, Mishu Natzchan, he who succeeds in this world by defeating his competitors, Balidei Shichacha. He comes to forgetfulness. So that word shichacha is the next word on our lexicon, our list of terms in the terminology that we have to understand, because it's not apparently understood why Natzchan, someone who's successful in this world, you know, he's Alexander the Great and he conquered all the worlds, why does that bring to shichacha? What is the relationship between forgetting and this concept of Nitzachon in this world, the Nitzachon of the Ra'ayin, of he who sees negative in the next one, why does he come to Shichacha? And the secret is revealed here by Rabbi Nosson at the end of the third line when he says, Shichacha sheshocheach bi'alma di'asi. Let's try to explain what he means. There are two worlds. In Aramaic, it's Alma, or in Hebrew, Olam. There's this world, which is called Olam Hazeh, and there's the Alma di Asi, the world to come. So in Aramaic, to come is Asi, di Asi. Man's challenge, constantly, perpetually, is to achieve awareness of Alma di Asi, which means to constantly recognize and acknowledge that this world is the world of sheker. It's the world of you're here today and gone tomorrow. There's nothing permanent. There's nothing eternal about this world. It's the limited world. And the positive trait of man is Zikaron. We'll get to that a little bit later. Zikaron, which means to remember. What are you meant to remember? What is man constantly, perpetually meant to remember? It's Alma di Asi, the world to come, the world of infinity, the world of divinity, the world of post after death. But the opposite of Zikaron is Shichacha, is forgetting. When man completely ignores, let me think of another word, when he forgets the world to come, and instead he's guilty of shichacha. Shichacha meaning forgetfulness, which is the opposite of zikara. And he says the more we get involved in this world, which is called Ribui Avonosenu, our sins, in which we violate and undermine the will of God because we're interested in the success of this world rather than the world to come. Misgaber Ra'ayin, that power that we spoke about before called Ra'ayin, gets stronger and stronger. And his ultimate goal is lesamos eini Yisrael, to blind the eyes of the Jew, so lebilti istakel, so he won't see beyond this world through this lens of truth of emes lamito to the alma di osi, to the world beyond this world. So what happens is, in the mechanics of it all, if man gets involved in averos, in sins, that means he's putting all his efforts into this world, and now the forces of Ra'ayin will draw him to a state of blindness in which he forgets and he doesn't look with his eyes at the truth, which is the Alma di Asi, the world to come. And ultimately what happened is that this Ra'ayin became so powerful of a force in the Jewish world that al yidei zeh nechrav ha-Beis HaMikdash va-Golos. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Jews went out to exile. U'misarech adayin, and it still goes on and on. It's a lengthy exile. On page 3, al yidei zeh. And the entire episode or enterprise of Churban Beis HaMikdash is shichecha. It's forgetting the world to come. It's the Beis HaMikdash where God is present. The Shekhinah is there. That's where a Jew goes in to the holy environs of the Beis HaMikdash, and that fills his heart with zikaron, with remembering and awareness of Olam Haba, of the Alma Diyasi of the world to come. And that's going to bring him to do tshuva for his sins, to undermine the shichecha that he was suffering from. So the Churba Beis HaMikdash on the one hand means shichechas zikaron olam haba, which is identical to Churba Beis HaMikdash. What is Churba Beis HaMikdash? Why are we grieving and mourning over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash? Because the Beis HaMikdash inspires every one of us to have a heart of zikaron, of remembering the infinite world of divinity, to fulfill God's will, to give up on the pleasures of this world for the sake of emes, for the world of infinite truth. And that's what the Beis HaMikdash is meant to function, to achieve. The churban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, is the opposite of zikaron. And that is shichecha, to forget our connection to the world to come. Now, at what point in the history of the Jewish people did shichecha become such a problematic, powerful force? This happened, says Rabbi Nosson, on the 17th of Tammuz, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos, and he became aware with his own eyes of the Egel, the worshipping of the golden calf, and at that point in time, Moshe Rabbeinu smashes the luchos. And Chazal tell us that as a result, shichecha came into the world. Shichecha, forgetting, and the opposite of zikaron, emerges the moment of the destruction of the luchos. So that is the beginning of a process, a downsliding process of shichecha. And the Chazal tell us that if not for the fact that the luchos were broken, there would never be shichecha. We would have received the luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu would have been the Mashiach, and at that point, the end of days would have been achieved when we would cross the Jordan River and enter the land of Israel. And there we would build the Beis HaMikdash that would never be destroyed. But the problem is that shichecha came into existence at the time of the Chet HaEgel, when Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed the luchos. And now we turn to the main paragraph on page 3. Al kein, therefore tzrichim livkos miod bein hamitzorim. In this period of 3 weeks, beginning with Shivasar B'Tammuz and ending with Tisha B'Av, we begin crying, Bechia. And Eicha, which is authored by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, declares, Eini, Eini, Yardomayim, my eyes poured forth water, meaning tears. What is the goal of crying? Why do we put so much emphasis on shedding tears during this 3-week period between 17 Tammuz and 9 Av? Eini, Eini, it's not enough to cry once. We have to cry a second time. It's almost incessant crying. And he goes back to the idea of the Einayim, of the eyes. We said that the eyes would determine in which direction we turn. Do we turn towards Tov Ayin, towards seeing through our eyes that there's more than this world, that this world is finite, this is the world of Sheker, that there's a world of ultimate truth, of infinity? Or do we look the other way, heaven forbid, and then we have Ra Ayin, and we forget about the world to come? We're in a mode of shichacha, forgetfulness, and it all depends upon our eyes. The Ra'ayin tries very hard to put, so to speak, figuratively, a film over our eyes. Almost like a toxic substance in the eyes. You know, like if you use certain, you know, chemicals, it'll always write, be careful, you know, stay away from your eyes. And the Ra'ayin is geared to the function, to the agenda, or the purpose of inculcating this eris, this poisoning, toxic substance into our eyes that doesn't allow us to see the ultimate truth, the emes lamito, but rather to put us completely dedicated into this world, the world of nitzachon. And how do we cleanse our eyes and protect them against the eris, these toxic substances of the Ra'ayin? It's through bechiyah, by crying. The tears that flow from our eyes actually cleanse our eyes, and so to speak, purify them of the eris, of that toxic substance. And to prove this, he gives the example of one individual in biblical history who represents Ra'ayin, and that's Avshalom. Let's just remind ourselves, Avshalom is the son of whom? Of David HaMelech. And he is the son who rebels against his father, and he wants to take over the kingship, he even wants to destroy his father. He is the absolute personification of Ra'ayin. Because David HaMelech represents Mashiach, David HaMelech represents the infinite, David represents the journey towards Ein Sof, towards being one with the Almighty. David is Tov Ayin. His opposite is his own son Avshalom, who is the personification of the Ra'ayin. So we now have a battle, a clash between Avshalom, the Ra'ayin, and David, who is the Tov Ayin. Avshalom representing this world, and David representing the ultimate world to come, the infinite world of divinity. And David HaMelech declares, and now we're fast-forwarding to Shmuel Beis, before we're talking about Shmuel the first, now in Shmuel the second, Ulai Yira Hashem Bieni. Perhaps God will see my eyes. What does that mean? A very strange, ambiguous verse. Rashi says, what does it mean that God will see my eyes? Bidmos eini. He will see the tears in my eyes. And there's another pasuk there, right close by, that says, V'David ola umevake. David is crying. What's the emphasis here on the tears of David and the crying of David? And the answer is that this is the way David HaMelech could protect himself and save himself from the Ra'ayin of Avshalom. His powerful antidote to the Ra'ayin of Avshalom is Bechiya Be'enayim, is the crying of his eyes. And this is going to be a paradigm for us. We are meant to imitate and emulate David HaMelech. During this 3-week period from Shavasa B'Tamuz to Tisha B'Av, we too have to fight a battle against the Ra'ayin. Because what was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? It was the Shichicha of Ra'ayin. Shichicha meaning making it impossible for us to be aware of Emes Lamito, of the ultimate infinite truth. And therefore we are fighting a battle against the Ra'ayin in our own lives and in the lives of our community. The Ra'ayin is trying to bring us down by making us forget. Again, all the emphasis here is on Shichicha. And we have to battle against Shichicha for the sake of Zikaron. And we have to do that battle even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which is very difficult for us. And the only tool, the only weapon we have in our possession against the Ra'ayin is the Dmos, the Bechia, the crying that will defeat Shichicha, V'az Zochrin L'Zikaron, and then we will merit Zikaron, which means again, awareness of the world to come, the Alma Diyasi, Bechinas Eila Ezkara. Now, Eila Ezkara is one of the famous kinos that we recite in the Ashkenazic rite on Tisha B'Av. And it's all about remembering the great saints, the great tzaddikim, right? The Asaru Gemalchus that gave up their lives. They represented and personified Zechira, remembering the world to come. They were willing to give up their lives in this world for the sake of the infinite world to come. And therefore, it's not coincidental that the two opening words to that kina, that lamentation over the death of the 10 martyrs, is Eila Ezkara, Miloshan Zechira, to remember, because they taught us Zechira. And he says, Klal Ikar Kinas B'Tisha B'Av U'Bein HaMitzarim, all of the lamentations that we recite on Tisha B'Av, Bishvil Tikun, in order to fix up the Churban HaBayis. What was the Churban HaBayis? It was Shichicha. It was to defeat and neutralize the Zikaron of Olam Haba. And now we have to do a tikkun by remembering Olam Haba. How do we do so? K'dei lizkos b'tshuva. We have to be zocher to tshuva because our sins brought down the Mikdash. And how do we achieve tshuva? The answer is that tshuva is a process of zikaron. Tshuva means, how did I sin and how did I give way and subjugate myself and my soul to the pleasures of this world, even at the expense of violating the will of God? If a person now achieves the Eila Ezkara, the Zikaron that he achieves by crying over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, and those tears will defeat and neutralize the Ayin Ra, whose method is the method of Shichicha, we will now, through the Dmos, through the tears and the crying over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, we will now cleanse, so to speak, our eyes in order that we could see the truth, the Emes Lamito, and always be aware of that truth, a cognizance that's perpetual through Zikaron, Eile Ezkara. And we achieve that level of Zikaron by removing the power of the Ra'ayin and neutralizing him through our Dmos, by cleansing our eyes so that he can't push our eyesight towards this world and the pleasures therein, even at the expense of violating the will of God, but rather to cleanse our eyes so we could see the world of truth, of Emes Lamito, the world of Zikaron, the world of Alma Diyasi, of the world to come. Okay, let's see where we want to pick it up now. Oh. And he says on the top of, what number is this? 3B, I guess you'd call it. That the ultimate verse that we recite at the end of the long kinnis is Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. Which means that we want to do tshuva, we want to come back, and we want to repent our sins and regret, remorse our sins in order to reach Hashem. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. Ki ikar kavanasenu, what is the entire purpose? The goal that we have to reach through our crying during kinnis is to ask God to have mercy on us and bring us back close to Him. Instead of being marchik us, meaning push us away, like He did at the time of the Churban and Golus, the opposite. Shiashivenu Elov. He should bring us back to Him, to that ultimate and original close relationship that we had. Shenizkal Yedei Admos, that through the process of crying, we'll be able to overcome the ra'ayin, we'll be able to neutralize the shichicha. And what's the ultimate goal of this crying, of this mourning, of this process of tshuva, is shenizke lizikaron, that we should merit that high level of remembering. Tahainu, what does it mean, remembering? Lizkar heitev, to remember very well. Bi alma di osi, the world to come. Bechol yom, on a daily basis. Bechlolios ubepratios. All right, those two words are another terminology that Rabbi Nosson introduces here, which hopefully we'll understand as we go along. Now Rabbi Nosson points out, and by the way, in my particular version or printing of Likutei Halachos, Vizel Bechina starts a new paragraph. You know, you press the return button. Make a note of that. I'm just going to take a split second to add some water. Okay. Sorry, apologize. Rabbi Nosson has a very profound explanation for the fact that Eicha, the book of Eicha, which we read on Tisha B'Av, has three chapters that begin with the word Eicha. So the word Eicha appears not just once, twice, but three times. What's significant about these three Eichas? Why the repetition three times over of the word Eicha? Now, by way of introduction, I would like to say the following. There are three dimensions of existence or of reality, each of which can climb and ascend higher and higher towards the ultimate goal of Zikaron, which we said was connecting ourselves and motivating ourselves and all our actions towards the Alma Diasi, the world to come. What are these three dimensions, and how do the three chapters, each of which respectively starts, opens with the word Eicha, correspond to these three dimensions? What are these three dimensions? Zeu bechina shalosh pavim Eicha, three times Eicha, shomrim keneged, they correspond to shalosh bechinos, three different dimensions. Shehem, number one, Adam, man. Number two, makom, which means space or location. And number three, zman, which means the time factor. So we have three factors. And each one of these factors has to be elevated and sanctified to a level of zikaron, right? Their ultimate goal is zikaron, remembering Alma Diasi. And now Rabbi Nosson is going to show you, he's going to demonstrate that these three dimensions reach their apex in the Beis HaMikdash. So again, we have an equation here between Beis HaMikdash and Zikaron. And now we're going to take the three dimensions of existence and demonstrate how each one of these three reflect the ultimate zikaron in the Beis HaMikdash, effectuated by the Beis HaMikdash, which unfortunately was destroyed. Now, in order to demonstrate this, Rabbi Nassan quotes a pasuk. One second. In Eicha, in the second chapter of Eicha. Okay, it's a bit of a challenging pasuk. And if I had an English translation, it would be helpful, but I don't have one right now. The pasuk in the second chapter of Eicha says the following. Now, what Rabbi Nassan is going to do is he's going to break up this pasuk into three parts. He's going to splice into each part of that three-part pasuk a commentary. So there'll be part of the pasuk, then he's going to break with a comment, another part of the pasuk comment, and a third part of the pasuk with a comment. That's the structure. Vekulam, all these three dimensions, bepasuk echad, are alluded to in one verse. Shehu, second chapter of Eicha. Kagan Suko Shiches Moado. And Jeremiah is lamenting the destruction of Moed. And what does Moed mean in this context? The pasuk opens up, Vayachmos means to crush. Gan Suko, the garden of his sukkah. Now sukkah always refers to schach. The schach alludes to the Shechina. And now God is destroying, he's trampling on this garden of his sukkah, which is a reference, an allusion to the Beis HaMikdash, which is called Shiches Moado. Now, the first part of this pasuk refers to the Beis HaMikdash, and God destroys the Beis HaMikdash. Vayachmos Gan Suko. And Beis HaMikdash is Bechinas Kiddushas HaMoko. It's the sanctity of space. The holiest space on the face of the earth is the Beis HaMikdash. And within the Beis HaMikdash, it's the Kodesh Kadoshim. Now, Moado here refers to the word Vaad. Vaad is a rendezvous between two lovers. And Beis HaMikdash is the place for that rendezvous between God and the people of Israel. And you may be aware of the fact that Shlomo Melech wrote a book called Shir HaShirim. And Shir HaShirim is all about a metaphor of the love relationship between the dod and the raya, between the beloved and her groom, so to speak, between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam. That's called Moado. And God destroyed that place where we rendezvous with God, which is the Beis HaMikdash, the holiest spot on the earth. But then the pasuk goes on and says, Shikach Hashem b'tzion, Moed v'Shabbos. God caused the destruction in Zion of Moed. Moed is referring to the special times. We have three, Moedim and Shabbos. Hainu, this refers to the second dimension of reality, and that is Kedushas HaZman. And we sanctify time on the Moed and on Shabbos. So that when we experience the proper way, the Zman that's sanctified, namely Moed and Shabbos, I don't mean that we go into Shabbos and just, you know, eat and schmooze and have Kiddush and all that. I'm talking about a more deeper, profound experience of Shabbos. Or, for example, the Moed, you know, Sukkos and Pesach and Shavuos, when we experience those at the ultimate level, It becomes an experience of zikaron. We sort of link ourselves and harness ourselves into the sanctity of time, where God reveals himself in a very profound way during the Shabbos and Moed. Ki kol ma shazman mekudesh biyoser, the holier the time period is, like the Moedim and the Shabbosim, bahem me'irim harimazim biyoser. Okay, you got those four words. We're going to try to focus our attention on those four words. Bahem me'irim harimazim biyoser. Which means that if you...
Recording in progress.
Okay, they finally decided to record this. Okay. If you can combine together both the Moed or the Shabbos together with the Beis HaMikdash, you have both Kedushas Makom and Kedushas Zman. That overlap, that integration will give you Me'irim, will give you a light. And this light, of course, is a supernal, infinite light of the divine being, which allows you to perceive remozim. Okay, now this word remozim is the next word that we want to put on our list of the lexicon of Rabbi Nosson. What is remozim? Literally translated as signs, indications, allusions. Now this is one of the most profound and fundamental central concepts in the Chassidus of Breslov, the Torah of Remozim. Rabbi Nosson, based on the Torah of his Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman, speaks about it all over the place. The fundamental belief is that nothing happens in our lives by chance, by accident. Everything is part of a divine plan.
Recording in progress.
Everything is a manifestation of divine hashgacha pratis. So a person thinks that, you know what, Gerald showed up for the class, it's purely an accident. But it's not. It can't be an accident. My pen fell on the ground, off the top of the desk, it's an accident, right? I went out to my car, and it didn't start, chas v'shalom, right? It's pure accident. The answer to that is remozim. Everything that happens to me, every moment of my life, which is unique, and it's different from the second before it and the second after it, in terms of the people I see, in terms of the world that I perceive in front of me, the sunrise, the sunset, the experience of my body, of my breathing, every single dimension of my life, as I experience it, is a remez. It's a divine connection to my life, if only I could interpret it properly. And no matter what interpretation I come to, and it's a very tricky business to try to figure out what's the secret of every single thing that happened in my life on a daily basis, one thing I definitely achieve, and that is the realization, the acknowledgement that it's divinely given. It's not an accident. So when a person, chas v'shalom, gets into a car accident, or his automobile doesn't start, he got a puncture, he got a, how do you say it in English, when you have a tire that busts?
A blowout.
The very moment that he has that experience, he is challenged to realize that that's part of a divine plan. Whether he's able to figure out why it happened, one thing for sure, he should see the good in what happened, which is a tremendous challenge. So, for example, about 10 days ago, my car didn't start. I was out in a place called Tzomet Gush Etzion. And what they did was they asked me to put it into neutral. They were able to push it forward so that they could give gas to the guy behind me and the guy behind him. Pushed it forward. And they had different people. No one could get the car started. I was late for a lecture, don't ask. And I'm freaked out. What I realized with the passage of time is that within this experience, which I don't know why God brought it upon me, but God was with me. Why? Because exactly in the place where the car was pushed to, a few feet away from the the station, you look a couple of metrim in front of you, and there was a garage. You know, it's very often here in Israel, I assume all over the world, that the garage is located near a gas station. Well, again, it was hours until the garage opened, because this was at 6 a.m. They didn't open until 8:30. So for 2.5 hours, I was quite nervous. But what I realized is that I could have gotten stuck anywhere. And we're not surrounded in that area by necessarily friends. And they didn't even have to drag the car. They were able to come out, an electrician, it was a whole job, and they fixed it. But what I'm trying to say is that this is the world of Ramazim, to try to find the good and the divine in every single experience. And that's the greatest challenge of life from a perspective of Zikaron. If our ultimate goal is Zikaron, it means to constantly, perpetually remind ourselves of the Almighty, so we don't lose focus on what's true and what's emes lamito, what's ultimate and what's existential. Now the pasuk goes on, and the third part of the pasuk speaks about Adam. Just one second. Oh. Right, ki kol mashe shehazman mekudesh biyoser kimo the more sanctified the day is, the greater is the revelation of these Ramazim. So if I enter into a Yontif, a Moed, or a Shabbos in the proper state of mind, if I allow that sanctity of time to penetrate into my heart and uplift me, it's a cinch to be enlightened by those divine lights of Ramazim and connect to God. And he says the ultimate is one day in the Beis HaMikdash, where you have the overlap of the highest level of Kedushas Makom, which is the Beis HaMikdash, and the highest level of Kedushas Zman, which is Yom HaKippurim. Ad asher b'Yom HaKippurim oz hu ikar hazikaron ba'olam haba. Yom HaKippurim is a day, we call it, let's say, a 24-hour time unit, but it's not. It's really part of the world to come. It's an infinite experience above time. So for one day of the year, we are able to receive an experience that's above time. So imagine the Kohen Gadol going into the Holy of Holies on Yom HaKippurim. Oz Yom HaMuvchar Mikol HaShana, that is the most elevated day in the entire year. Ubo, and on that day, Me'irim HaRamazim V'Sgalus Gadol Yosef Yoser. The Ramazim that are meant to bring, that are meant to project us closer and closer to the Almighty, are in full brilliance. The acharkach, the end of that same verse that we started, this is the third section of the verse, vayinatz b'zam apo melech v'kohen. And God in his anger destroyed a king who was a Kohen, which if I'm not mistaken is Zechariah, but we'll get to it a little later. And ze b'chinas kedushas ha'adam, we're talking about the highest level of sanctity of man, who is both a king and a priest. He's the high priest, the Kohen Gadol. And that reflects throughout the generations the Kedushas Tzadikei HaEmes, the great leaders of the people of Israel, the great scholars, who are completely disconnected from the pleasures and the lusts of this world. They're not impressed by that. They don't care about that. They are called Malachim. They are called, in our language of Chazal, the kings, because they dominate over their bodies and their physical pleasures. Ve'ikar amchashas hazikaron al yodom, And the tzaddikim, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, will sort of will carry the main burden of inspiring the people, each and every one of us, with zikaron, with remembering. So everything is about zikaron. The churban is shichicha. And when do we find that the three dimensions of sanctity overlap? Kedushas HaMakom, Kedushas Man, and Kedushas Adam, that's the Kohen Gadol, entering into the Holy of Holies on Yom HaKippurim. He's the holiest man, Adam. It's the holiest time of the year, the infinite experience of Yom HaKippurim. And it's the holiest place on the face of the earth, it's the Kodesh Kodoshim. So Yom HaKippurim is the highest of the highest. And now Rabbi Nosson, and with this we'll have to conclude, is going to show us how the three chapters in Megillas Eicha, each one beginning with the word Eicha, correspond to these three elements. The first Eicha is Eicha Yashva Badad. And this you'll see here on page 3b that we were reading. And it's at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up before the end of the page. Echa yashva badad ha'ir v'chule. V'zeu kino, that's a lamentation on the loss and the destruction of the Bechina of Kedushas HaMakom, right? The city of Jerusalem is isolated. It's quarantined. Again, in our time in COVID, with the word quarantine takes on new meaning. Then we go on to the second Echa, which is called Echa Ya'iv HaPo. And that means that the world becomes a dark place with very thick clouds in which we're unable to pierce through the Ramazim. And that's a kina on the Bechina of Kedushas Hayom, of the sanctity of time. So the sanctity of time is no longer the same as it was when it could be integrated with the sanctity of Makom at the time that the Migdash stood. Kamo Shesiem Velo Zohar Adom Raglov Biyom Apo. He didn't remember the place of his footstool on the day of his anger. Bechinas Ragli HaKedusha, right? Sanctity always has to come all the way down, even to the feet. And that's the Bechina of Ramazan, that everything that happens to us in this physical world, in materialism, is meant to give us a push to find and discover the Ramazan. Vizel Biyom Apo, on the day of his anger, his with a capital H, when the light dims and it becomes dark, and that's going to generate shichicha. We forget, we don't have those eyes that are meant to give us that keen perception to penetrate beyond the physical world, to see the infinite world of the Almighty. And therefore, Ein Mesimin Lev LaRamazim, we no longer are putting our energies and focusing on the Ramazim. So that's the second Eicha. The first Eicha is a kina on Kedushas Makom. The second Eicha is a kina on Kedushas Man. And the Eicha Yu'am, the third kina in Eicha, that begins with Eicha, is a reference to, I mentioned Zechariah, I apologize, it was Yoshio at Tzadik, and there's a whole kina about Yoshio. And that's histalkus, the loss of a tzaddik. He called Eicha Yuam, that entire chapter, is dedicated to the death of Yoshio, which represents and manifests Kedushas Adam, the sanctity of man. Ki gam acher churban shenechrav ha-Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. V'ein lanu kohen gadol v'lo Beis HaMikdash. And what's slipping through our hands is that zikaron, which is projected by the three different dimensions of Kedusha, of Kedushas Man, Kedushas Makom, and Kedushas Adam. And ultimately, we need zikaron. We need to get to the level which is so challenging in the light of the destruction of the Mikdash, namely zikaron. And ultimately, that brings us to the very last passage that we'll recite on Tisha B'Av at the end of the Kinos, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha, to Tshuva. and the zikaron will now be the antidote to neutralize the shichicha of the ra'ayin, which tries to bring us down, 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 and make us forget the Almighty. He wrote so much bizocha to this level of zikaron, and Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva k'edi ratzon. Amen. Thank you so much.